we present Best Sellers. Best Sellers, featuring great works by famous authors of today and yesterday. In June 1942, two German U-boats headed quietly into American waters, aimed at two isolated beaches. On board each craft was a team of four men, eight specialists, primed for an audacious mission, codenamed Operation Pistorius. But neither team knew of another passenger with an even greater mission that could shake the world. He was the ninth man. The ninth man. A chilling story based on historical fact by John Lee and dramatized for radio in 25 episodes by Victor Maxon.
Silencer tube, ammunition, and identification cards were stuffed into his pocket as he went downstairs looking for her. Was it Mrs. McKinney? It had to be. Who else was there? Who could even have had the remotest interest? Eventually he did find her, in the kitchen, standing behind her ironing board, pressing a green blouse, her eyes almost as wild as his own. Could she perhaps have been waiting for him? Expecting him?
What are you wanting here, rushing in like that? What do you think this is? If you
have been in my room. You have taken my money.
Money? Taking your money? What the hell are you talking about?
You took my money from the bedroom. Now, where is it? What have you done with it?
Don't talk to me about money, you war profiteer.
What? What's that you say?
You heard me. Don't try and pretend you don't know what I'm talking about. War profiteer. You think I don't know? This is a patriotic house. I don't need your kind here. You just pack your things and clear out now. Do you hear me? Clear out!
I want my money.
Don't come near me, or I'll let you have it with this iron. Now get out, now. Get out, or I'll call the police.
Police? Mrs. McKinney, please listen to me. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're letting yourself in for.
Don't I? If you want your money, sue me. Go on, sue me. I don't have to take any back talk from you. I saw the look on your face when I mentioned the police. Do you want me to call them? I will. If you don't get out, I'll call them, and we'll let them decide what to do about the money. Now, take your choice.
I need it. It's very important. You don't understand. You can't understand just how
I
important...
I understand all I need to. That money is stolen or illegal, isn't it? No one would carry that much money around with them if they were on the level. If I call the police, they'll take you away and put you in jail for 100 years.
You are a woman. I have never raised my hand to a woman in all my life, but you are trying to be too far.
Yes, take that! I'm warning you! I warned you, didn't I? Now you've hurt yourself as well. Now, stay right there, because I've got this, too.
My gun?
Yeah, your gun. You just get out of here right now. I'll shoot you stone dead if I have to.
Yeah, it's a nice big gun, that. Isn't it? Could blow a hole right through a man, huh? Quite easily, couldn't it?
Why are you unplugging the cord from the iron? What are you... Stop it, at once. Now move again and you're dead. Do you think I won't shoot? A man attacks a lady in her own kitchen? She has a right to shoot. Maybe the police will take the money away from me, but that won't do you any good. For the last time, stop right there or I... Why, it won't fire. Why won't
it... When you point a gun, you should...
No, please!
Release the safety cap. You asked for it.
Mrs. Fakini, are you all right? Is something wrong?
Oh, where the hell's that gun? There, under the kitchen table.
Mrs. Fakini, what's the matter? What's all this shouting about?
The money. Where the blazes is it? What could she have done with it? She seemed to have every intention of keeping it for herself. Now she had the gun in here, then the money can't be far away.
Mrs. Fakini, I know something is wrong. If you don't answer me, I think I'm going to call the police.
Confound the man.
Is it? Oh God, dear God, help me!
Now the question is, what do I do? Go back into the kitchen and try and find the money? Or climb upstairs and find the man? No, doesn't matter. If I kill him, I'll have to kill everyone in the place. With or without a witness, the police will know who's done it as soon as they find out that one of the roomers has run away. They'll get a description from the other roomers. Size and build from the clothing in my room. Only a matter of time before the word goes out. Where do I go? Where will I hide? All the money I have is what I have on me. The police will be looking for me. Well, let them look. They won't find me. There is no means of identification up in my room. It's all in my pockets. I'll simply cease being Frank Daniels and become someone else and lose myself in Washington's crowded wartime sprawl. Perhaps I should leave for Maryland now. Sleep on back roads until one of the teams shows up. They have plenty of money. Just stay out of sight until one of them arrives.
Widow, found strangled in her kitchen with the electrical cord from her iron. Send out a call for one Frank Daniels. White male, brown hair, in late 20s. About 6 feet tall, muscular build. Known to be armed. Approach with caution.
It was frightening. Terrible. He came out of the kitchen, fired... You can see where the bullet hit. There's a hole in the wall. A whole piece of plaster's been knocked out.
Yeah. No, just take it easy. Try to relax. Just run it back in your mind. What happened before that?
Well, at first I wasn't sure. We've always lived a very quiet life here. And Mrs. Fakini was always very particular about the kind of people she took in. So to hear voices raised in anger is a rare thing, particularly at that time of day.
What time of day?
Late afternoon.
Yeah, go on.
Well, I heard voices being raised. I couldn't make out what was being said, but Mrs. Fakini sounded a little excited.
Excited?
but you couldn't make out in detail.
As I walked along the landing, it sounded like she said, profiteer, and clear out, something like that.
Profiteer? War profiteer?
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
What else?
Once I got closer, about a third of the way down the stairs, I heard him say something about money being stolen. Then she started yelling. I thought he said, stay back, or I'll shoot. I heard her scream, then nothing for a moment. Then there was this crash, something falling over. I called out a couple of times. I saw this gun pointed at me. He stepped back.
Yes?
Probably saved my life. He fired, like I said. I ran up the stairs along the passage to my room, locked myself in. I was petrified.
Okay. Now what do you know about this man? How long had he stayed here? When did he move in?
Only a few days ago. Quiet sort of fella. Didn't see that much of him. Bought himself a car a couple of days ago. Parked it outside.
Good evening. My name is Davis. George Davis. I made a booking from New York.
Look it up, sir. Be very busy. Completely rushed off our feet, in fact. Seem to be thousands of people passing through Washington these days. Yeah, here it is. George John Davis. Afraid you'll have to be out on Monday. Everything booked out after that.
Oh, yeah. Don't worry. Thank you. My business should be completed by then.
Right, Mr. Davis. Your room number is...
Am I really doing the right thing? The FBI is a civilian organization. Are they the right people to go to give myself up? In Germany, it is so different. The police are not a civilian organization. It is the Gestapo, a German military intelligence, handles spy cases. Are things so different here in wartime? Shouldn't I try G2 intelligence arm, the American Army? Wouldn't that be more logical? On the other hand, it is the FBI that the newspapers are always writing about. I understand that they never torture prisoners. Not like the Gestapo. Why should they be any different? How do I know they won't torture me? Pull out my fingernails, punch me, kick me. Perhaps even burn... Oh, horrible to contemplate. Perhaps I should do something more to prove to them that I am not a Nazi. Something to make them see me in a more favorable light. I have the money. I can hand over the money. $82,350. Yes, that's the answer. Contents. $82,350. Money from German government for their purpose, but to be used to fight those Nazis. George J. Dash, alias George J. Davis, alias Franz Pistorius. Looks all right. Has a good ring to it. Suppose I should phone them now. Tell them who I am and get it over with. Surely a few more hours won't make all that difference. A nice dinner. Perhaps a few drinks. A last cool walk in the evening air. And some sleep. Then call when my head is clearer. Just one more night. Newspaper in the morning of Friday, June 19th. A small story at the bottom of page 13.
A local woman, a Mrs. Ellen Sue Fikini, 53, has been found by one of her tenants strangled to death in the kitchen of her boarding house. The tenant, a man named Bernstein, overheard an argument and went to her aid, but Mrs. Fikini had been slain before he could reach her. Police are looking for a suspect, a man named Frank Daniels, who had taken a room in Mrs. Fikini's establishment a few days before the killing.
Had George John Dash read the story, it would have meant nothing to him at the time. Why should it? What probably held his attention as he nervously skimmed through the front page headlines, trying to pass the time, was the big story of the day.
Roosevelt and Churchill discuss war tasks at secret venue in the United States.
German propaganda broadcasts have referred to Churchill's visit as a gesture for publicity purposes. I wonder what German propaganda broadcasts will say about me when they hear. I think perhaps I must ask the FBI not to give my name to the newspapers. Well, that's the least they can do in return for giving myself up. Thank you. Hello?
Federal Bureau of Investigation, Special Agent Thomas S. Creekmore speaking.
I'd like to speak to Mr. Hoover, please.
I'm afraid Mr. Hoover's not available. May I help you?
It is very important that I speak to him.
If it's important, I'll see that it gets to him.
I see. Very well. What'd you say your name was?
Creekmore. Thomas S. Creekmore.
Yes. Good morning, Mr. Creekmore.
Good morning.
My name is George Dash. I am a German agent, and I would like to talk to someone about sabotage.
I beg your pardon?
I repeat. My name is George Dash, also known to your people as Franz Pistorius. I called your New York office earlier this week. I am the leader of the German sabotage team, which landed at a Mangansett. I would like to turn myself in.
A Mangansett? Yes, sir. Our New York office, you say?
Yeah.
May I ask where you are, Mr. Dash?
Oh, yes, of course. I am in a room at the Mayflower Hotel, room 351. Can you send someone around to talk to me? I'd like to get this over with as soon as possible.
Jeff, the Mangansett landing. Can you get someone around to the Mayflower right away? Matter of urgency. Mr. Dash, we'll have someone there in a matter of minutes. Two men are leaving now. Please stay right where you are. They'll come directly up to your room.
Yeah, thank you. I'll be right here. Room 351, Mayflower. Dear God. Now I have done it. At last, it is over. How ironic. Eggs Benedict for my last meal, prepared superbly by the chef. Muffin, ham, and poached eggs, steaming through the hollandaise sauce. I couldn't touch it. All I want to do now is go through to the bathroom and be sick.
Four southbound trains from New York. Still no sign of any of the team members. There's still plenty of time, I suppose. No need for panic yet. Not for another 24 hours, at least. There's still so much to be done. Preparations at the bridge, escape plans to be perfected. I'll wait for another train. If they're not on that, I'll get a loaf of bread and salami. That should take the edge off my appetite. And I can eat it in the car and wait for them.
Ordinary piece of luck. Just can't believe it. What is even more fantastic is how they just cruise in on a U-boat off Long Island, land on our shores, and get as far as they have without being caught. Get this off to New York fast as you can. and make it clear that these men are to be kept under quiet surveillance until warrants can be prepared for their arrest. Peter Berger, registered to the Governor Clinton. Apparently he's also willing to give himself up, but don't take any chances. He's a naturalized American citizen. Seems he worked at the National Guard in both Michigan and Wisconsin before going over to Germany. The other two are Heinrich Harm Heinck, 34, and Richard Quirin, also 34. They've booked in at the Martinique Hotel, 32nd and Broadway, registered as Henry Kanor and Richard Quintas.
What have we got on him so far?
Heinck's a tough little guy and a dedicated Nazi. He has a marked German accent when he speaks in English. Seems he entered the U.S. illegally in 1927, joined the German-American Bund in 34, and returned to Germany in 39. He's an expert in high explosives. He's aggressive and could be dangerous. The other one, Quirin, alias Quintas, as far as is known, worked in the U.S. for about 12 years. Big, strong, dependable type. We've heard from New York. Seems your colleague, Peter Berger, is exactly where you said he would be. Camped out in room 1421 of the Governor Clinton Hotel. But the other two, Quirin and Heinck, are not where they're supposed to be. How do you account for that?
I can't account for it. I don't understand. I instructed them to book into the Chesterfield. It was in their own interest. I can think of no logical reason why they shouldn't still be there. I just hope they haven't gone ahead and tried something stupid on their own.
Yeah, I hope to heaven they haven't. And if I were you, I would pray hard that that is indeed the case. It seems that Quirin and Heinck never checked into the Chesterfield at all. Better have some men watching the place just in case they do decide to take the action originally ordered. On the other hand, sooner or later, we must assume they will contact Berger. Under no circumstances must we let him out of our sight. In the meantime, we can make a few discreet inquiries as to whether they may have checked into any other hotels in the district under their assumed names. At this stage, I'd say that's rather a long shot. Maybe they got some contacts that none of us knows about. Right now, it would seem that Berger is our best bet.
Yeah, seems about it for the moment. But only for the moment. I've got a feeling we've only just scratched the surface. The man we got is scared to death right now. But as we go along, we'll probably learn one hell of a lot more about what lies behind all this.
The presidential train was due to leave for Washington the following night, bearing the President of the United States and his honored British visitor, plus their respective entourages of statesmen, advisors, military chiefs, and personal attendants. They were due to return to the national capital for a continuation of the strategic war talks. I had a great many problems in my mind, one way or another, but would have had a great deal more to think about had I known then of the existence of a man dedicated to destroying the train and everyone in it.
That was episode 10 of The Ninth Man by John Lee, adapted and directed for broadcasting in 25 parts by Victor Magazine. You have been listening to Best Sellers, featuring the masterworks of famous authors that have captured the imagination of the world.